to the news. You can sleep with the blues on this wonderful, wonderful station. Just take a lively companion wherever you go. Take a portable radio. Take a portable radio.
Now, here comes the music.
Oh my gosh. Welcome aboard, boys and girls. Look at this. Just a mere 9 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock. We are in Studio C. You are along with us. Please welcome. It's show 312 on, what is this? This is the 15th of August already. My gosh. Where has 2017 gone? To hell in a handbag is pretty much where it's gone.
It's up in flames, that's for sure.
It's all crazy. We almost have enough food in the studio at this point to start the show, but I always forget to let them see us in the studio, so I have to click on things and make magic. What in the hell is this? Oh, there we go.
Now
they can see us. My God.
Hola.
Hola, everybody. Welcome. The chat room's already rocking and rolling, and we're ready to go. Kat Carlson is on her way. She'll be here in just a few minutes. She's en route, and we are ready to go. Hi, everybody. Welcome. Marnie brought gummy bears.
Oh, yeah.
Now, what's the story about you in the grocery store with the bag of popcorn?
It wasn't in the grocery store. It was actually at home.
Oh, I missed that.
But the gummy bears are because of how we finished last season. Right.
Well, and they were left, and I, over the 6 weeks, kind of had to consume the rest. Actually, four of them wound up in the bottom of the sink in a bowl. I just want to see what happened, and they were in water.
Nothing.
They drowned.
No, they were weird. It didn't even dissolve, so I was a little concerned.
They were weird. And they don't digest either, so really not a lot of surprises.
Like a salad shooter. Gummy shooter.
Anyway, so when I saw 5 pounds of it at Costco or something.
Of course. What could you need?
I'm afraid of the day that enjoying a little something medical and wander past a 5 pound bag of gummies.
Well, so there was that.
I had to think about that for, like, I know your profession, medical. Different.
Yes. So the popcorn story that you're talking about is mom had the hip surgery, on the second. And so, needless to say, I'm very busy. I'm for fucking real. Like, you know, I'm trying to keep a relationship going. I'm trying a full-time job. The house is a disaster. And then, you know, you have...
That's
all, folks. And
Where are my pants?
Where are my pants? It's all the inflection.
Things Porky Pig says.
That's all.
So Donald Duck.
So yeah. I walk up, and apparently I'm supposed to feed.
Your mom?
My mom, yeah. Something.
Can you just throw things at her?
Like, Jesus, there's Uber Eats, and then someone says, well, she can't get up and get that. Yes, she can.
She just can't walk sideways.
Correct.
She has to walk forward and backwards. That's
exactly it.
It's time to start posting those Obama stickers on her. Yes, she can.
Yes, you can. Oh. Si su puede.
Hope.
Si su fucking puede.
Hope.
Right there.
Hope's alive. And at the breakfast table, so go to the breakfast table.
For real. Anyway, so I walk out with the big bag of popcorn that you can, well, this is ripped in half, but I mean, it's, you know, like,
that is such
thing.
A small, show the viewer.
Well,
look at the size of that fucking popcorn.
Is that it's supposed to go to there.
It gets more?
She just cut it in half.
It's about this, yeah.
She threw it at her mother and said, dinner is served.
Yeah, like I went like that.
It was like a king-size
pillow. I came out of the pantry and I went, dinner is served.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I just stared at her like, what are you going to say about that?
She practically performed Be My Guest.
Cool.
Our guest.
Right, yeah.
Amen.
Put this popcorn
to the test.
Yeah,
I mean, it really, it's nutritious.
It's cleansing, I understand.
It can be.
You eat enough of it, just
and, you
gravel.
Know, just the antibiotics and the pain medicine, I'm telling you.
Yeah. Is she still laced out?
No, just when I crush it up and put it in her fucking applesauce. No, I'm kidding.
Wow.
I've only done that once.
Came early or late.
A couple days. Been a couple days.
Can I text Senior Protective Services?
I mean, I've only done it a couple times. You can't prove it, I don't think.
Okay, I've decided that you would be the same as I would be as an actual parent. If there were actual children, you know, how do you get the kid to fucking shut up? Yeah. So Jack Daniels in the house,
for
seriously?
Real. I'm just going to put it on his gum.
Ure.
Just
a pinch. Between his cheek and gum.
And the bottle. I mean, whatever.
Yeah.
I'm not going to give it the glass bottle. I'm not negligent.
And plastic would not be eco-friendly. So now where are you?
I appreciate the lack of negligence. It was a plastic bottle.
Yeah. That's right.
Hi, Mom. Welcome to the chat room.
Now she's an eco-terrorist, though.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Now, disposable diapers and plastic bottles her fucking house.
Oh, my.
Well, that's right. And that's just for your mom.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Well,
there we go. Dale, put the bed in the kitchen.
Exactly, Dale.
Fucking smart. I
miss
you, buddy.
That is just a buffet.
Yeah. Right. Well, then that's
whatever
the way it
cabinet
should be.
You can reach.
Jesus, she's on steroids, so she'd love that.
If you were to redo that room just off of your kitchen,
yeah, smart.
It really is a lovely bedroom because you've got a view. All those windows you open up, she could get a little sun.
Absolutely. Sun. Vitamin D.
You could sell it as an Airbnb, the kitchen, yours to explore.
But you only get this area.
Good luck. Has its own private entrance, all that stuff. You know,
there are wild animals.
There are.
I hope you like dogs. Very good.
We'll call that one a wolf. Yeah. You'll be fine.
Swiffer.
Yeah. A menagerie, if people will.
A menagerie. That sounds sexual.
Anyway.
I think it just means there's animals.
No, it does
something.
Not.
I really do think it does.
A menagerie?
I think so.
We're going to look it up.
What's the glass menagerie? The glass animals?
They're literally glass animals.
Really?
Yeah, she has very delicate glass animals.
All over.
I have learned something on this network.
You know what makes it a fable? Somewhere in the fairy tale, there has to be an animal. That's what makes it a fable. That's what differentiates it.
Now, is that an animal that talks? Does it have to interact?
A unicorn?
What is that word when you turn make give an animal
personify?
Human?
No.
Yeah, kind of.
Okay.
Persimmon.
Sure. I think it's when you give an animal human-like qualities. Like 1984 is actually a fable because it involves animals that have human characteristics.
So is the series Lassie and Ren Tin Tin, are those fables?
And because they don't talk, I'm
Mr.
not sure.
Ed.
They're talked to and they respond. Mr. Ed would be a fable.
A fable?
But it has something to do, whatever that word is, of making that. But I will look up.
God, if Kat was only here,
animation.
He would know these things.
I know, now I have to
animation?
Do my own. No?
No.
Menagerie is a collection of captive animals, frequently exotic, kept for display or the place where such a collection is kept. A precursor to the modern zoological garden.
Wow.
It literally,
aren't
so
you something?
Glass menagerie means glass animals.
I thought.
The only reason I know that is because in context of the play, The Glass Menagerie, they constantly refer to how fragile she is compared to her collection of glass.
No, that's true.
That is actually fragile.
That is actually fragile. Like, that's Laura, funny. I think is her name.
I'd never known that.
Oh, I can go so far into Tennessee Williams with you, I'd be fucking bored to death.
Okay, now that sounded dirty.
Well, there
and you did this with your hand.
Oh, Al, you're going
to make.
Do you have your glasses?
You eat enough of this popcorn, you're going to make. Yes, I do.
Do you need them?
Do you?
No, I didn't even take them out. Yes. Here, let me get my purse.
Because mine are in my purse, but my purse is in the car.
You know, as the show has progressed over the past few years, we started with a few different things we kept in studio. Like we had, paper towels, hand sanitizer, different things. We've kept things along. And then like the various cans of peanuts and cashews
have glasses
have stayed.
Next week.
So what's happening now is we're going to have glassware in the studio.
Thank you.
Cheaters.
I can go to CVS and I can get three of them for like.
I do have to keep a pair at work because that's getting to be a pain in the ass because I don't want to. Those are not cheaters. Right. Those are actual.
No, I understand.
Paid way too much for some stupid fucking reason.
You like green, that's why.
Yeah, because I like green.
These are just nice though.
But
they're so light.
Yeah, they're so light. But I do have to go get a pair that I can just toss and I don't care for the $1.99 if I threw them away.
And I do the same thing again,
like Lucille Booth, I don't Buth. Blue. I don't know how much the bananas cost. What's a banana now?
$10? Is this the first day with the new mouth or the last day with the old one? I'm not sure which
last
one
day
for
with
you.
The old one.
Apparently.
No, last week. This is new as of last week. Boy, howdy was last week rough.
Okay, by the way, for those listening, both of you, I'd like to express Al gave me instructions before the show that if he goes anywhere near the coffee pot at any point during this evening's broadcast, I am to stop him. So if he leaves the studio, I bolt immediately following him.
We're going to have a live kitchen cam to capture me.
I'll
trip you.
He's been apparently wired on coffee since, I don't know, earlier today.
I'm set somewhere between hear colors or see smells. That's where the dial is today.
If you,
can it go up from there?
I'm not sure!
Oh, it just did. If you reach for my Americanos, I will cut you.
I just two Americanos.
Well, I thought you had. I thought one was No, I'm sorry, macaroni and cheese.
Look at her, macaroni.
Well, that's what they put it in.
Oh, okay.
Because it's a double insulated cup. Yeah. When they give you hot mac and cheese, you don't want it in a fucking little tin or paper cup.
I'm just thinking, I don't want to be the girl walking down the street with a cup full of macaroni and cheese.
Well, I don't want to be the big girl walking down the street with macaroni.
You've been the girl walking down the street with food before, Al. So
I left the French grocery today. Fulfilling some sort of stereotype, I just don't know which one it is.
Get on a bike
because you were prancing.
Yes,
you had a parasol.
Yes, dancer and prancer won't stop.
How many bells do you want to ring? How many bells do you want to ring?
Well,
on this?
I feel like I rang so many.
Clang, clang, clang goes the trolley. Ding, ding, ding.
This is my point. I left the French grocery on a bike with rosé in my purse and a baguette.
You just said you're bag. Not just done.
Right.
Yeah.
So come on.
What shoes are you wearing, Joan?
And then I gave $2 to a homeless person. So there's.
And a loaf of bread.
And the loaf of bread. We went all Les Miserables with it.
One day more, sir. Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
I was seriously just like laughing as I walked.
Were you like, bye bye, Cosette?
As I walk into a restaurant, interrupt the waiter's evening to be like, hey, I need a good rosé. Walk me over to the fridge.
And a baguette.
And then he's like, here, pour this. He's like, no, have a taste of this. It's the red we're pouring today at $5 a glass. So I just walk around this restaurant with a glass of wine that no one asked me to pay for, and I didn't ask for. But it was just assumed I needed
it. Forced upon
you. By the way, I was vibrating from the coffee.
From the coffee from earlier.
somebody give him some juice.
I got my bottle that turned into this whole conversation about Spanish wine that really didn't need to happen. Oh. Bought 8 macaroons, and then was like, hey, you want a loaf of bread? Sure, I must look hungry. So walk out of there and was here by 10 till. Like, seriously, it all happened in 5 minutes. In my mind.
And based on your story earlier, recounting all of this, and you said you left your house like at 5 or whatever the
6:30.
Hell. 6:30. So, okay, I thought you meant this morning because it's like you had accomplished a lot and then I realized you'd done all that in 20 minutes.
20 minutes. Yeah. Road to a destination.
You frightened
interacted
me.
With people.
Free coffee. Got bread. Handed out bread.
You frightened me.
My God.
I mean, I love
you. Look who's here. A young man just entered the studio. Kat Carlson is in his house.
The first one.
His house. My gosh. Kat, gear up. You better grab some coffee, honey.
Something.
She's on it. There you go. Fresh coffee in the AirPods.
So I think if we add...
Hope she brought food, too. It'll give us more to talk about.
Yeah. If we add the horror of this morning where I stumbled in my... pajamas, to use the French.
Stumble, you might fall.
Yeah. Stumbled into my kitchen and realized that the last time I had a day off, I had made up the rest of the coffee beans in my house into like a half a pot of absolutely delicious coffee and had emptied it. And then one day before work, I used the last Verissimo cup and was like, oh, yeah,
we'll
take care of that.
You're always using fancy words.
Yeah.
So, no, it's a Keurig.
I know. I'm
menagerie, Verissimo.
Menagerie of coffee animals. So I stood there in stunned disbelief as I realized there was no way to get caffeine to get in my person. I had all the implements, just not the fucking coffee. And then yesterday, because I just stayed awake for like 3 or 4 hours because I wanted a delightful 20 hours of sleep, I did laundry while I was awake and put everything away, so I ran around my house going, where are my pants? Why don't I have pants? Because there's always, like, scrub pants or a pair of shorts on the floor. Like, there's always some article of clothing on the floor where I took them off and could just slip them off and run to the nearest coffee vendor. No. I had to open up drawers and figure out where it is I keep my pants without coffee.
It sounds terrifying.
It really does. It's exhausting.
I know it looked like I was looking under the table, but my eyes were averted the entire time because I'm unsure of the status of your pants.
That's really a good call.
He's Winnie the Poohing way through the show.
Still Winnie Poohing it because Winnie Poohing it. I know her so well, I left out the article. It's just Winnie Pooh to me. So.
That's fair.
So Winnie Pooh and I.
Hi, Winnie Pooh. going
and you can't see at home, I may not be wearing pants. I probably am, though.
Again, averted my eyes. Yeah.
Don't start touching a doll.
It seemed prudent.
Yeah. Don't start touching a doll.
It seemed the polite thing to do, honestly.
And we'd like to see both hands at all times during the show today.
A prudent woman looks down during a story where a gentleman can't find his pants.
That's true.
Oh my. So that's what I did this week.
Wow. Thank you for wrapping that up in a little succinct thing.
7:23.
That was a really good, good entrance for me to make.
For crying out loud. But we really haven't gone any further than that story because yeah.
No, she fed her mom. It's 2 weeks down.
For real. She had a goddamn meal.
Yeah. Oh, fed an old woman, got an old man coffee.
She had popcorn.
Was it kibble?
Popcorn.
Kibble.
Yeah.
And bits.
And was served with a little attitude. If you watch the video back later, watch the story that she tells. Open
it
bag.
It was nearly a volleyball spike of popcorn at the old lady.
Here.
Open your fucking mouth. Bam.
Should we call CPS? What's happening?
I'm expecting on next week's show, you know we have rats in the cellar. That's what I'm expecting from her.
I'm not overwhelmed.
By the way, is Mama Di in a wheelchair? Because that would really add to the drama of the story.
No.
Oh, because you know, she could roll
but
around.
You are, Blair,
but you are!
No, that whole, yeah.
Yeah, that'd be great. But okay, no.
I feel like there's a government agency I should send to your house anonymously.
Actually, if you start showing up in baby doll dresses, that's going to be a special day.
Well, for many reasons.
I've written a letter to Daddy.
Well.
I'm going to call Aaron quickly.
Yeah, that would be dangerous. Very dangerous.
Yes, it would be. So I fed an older woman this week, too. I took Mom to lunch and dinner on Sunday. We spent the entire day together. We went to, and I saw Kat Carlson behind the bar serving up attitude and swill like it was nobody's business. Dancing for One in Ten event at the Tempe Center for the Arts.
Nice.
Went there, enjoyed, had some issues. There were some technical issues here and there, blah, blah, blah. But we all got through it. Nobody died. The coolest thing about the whole event this year, and I was astounded when Travis Shoemake made the announcement. Did you come in the auditorium?
Not at all. No, I was busy with the technical difficulties we had at the bar.
Oh, okay. I'm glad you did. Glad you were there.
Somebody had to be in charge of that shit.
So what the announcement was this year is, this is the 10th year anniversary of the event happening.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
which means I was 14 the first time.
10 years ago, Sway Events drunken night at Roscoe's, Sway Events got this crazy idea, and this is where it all came from.
Right.
Actually, Selena Vega told me that it was her at Roscoe's drunk. She called Gary Guerin or texted Gary Guerin or whatever.
I can believe
that. And that's
how
this all came to be.
That's funny, because I heard it was them at home drunk.
She said,
I mean, either way, it was Selena and Gary drunk. Idea, right.
But they may have considered their home Roscoe's at that time.
Or they may have come home from Roscoe's. Any one of those things. Anywho, this year there were 8 contestants. And in those 8 contestants, they raised more money between those 8 contestants from this year than from the 9 previous years total.
Wow. Combined, yeah.
That's fantastic.
They raised, before they factored in ticket sales, booze sales, and some other things, they were at $76,000 or $77,000 at the close.
Of just contestants.
And the winner, who was Stella from Cobalt,
we're winners.
But she raised more money than anybody has ever raised at $23,000 and change by the one contestant.
God, that's
the
great.
Prior record was Mark Howard last year, who showed up with $10,000 in his pocket.
And still, and $10,000, you were like,
it's nothing to sneeze at. You were like, what the fuck, Mark Howard? Because the winner the year before that won with $500. Like,
oh, wow.
That jump has been.
Wow.
Yeah.
You get the right people.
I don't know a lot about math, but that seems like it's growing exponentially.
Now, in addition to that being a wonderful event, like I said, Mom and I went to lunch. We rolled around town. We had a good time. Enjoyed the day.
Warm pavement for rolling
I learned. Around. Well, yeah, we had a vehicle. We were in Indora.
Seems awfully dirty.
The other thing that I realized, and it's funny, you would think that I would have already known this based on who I know in town, people that I'm already familiar with, maybe go on an occasional bike outing with. I learned that the news media in this town is a hell of a lot gayer than I thought it was.
Oh, fuck yeah.
OMG. Okay. I did not realize.
It's a lot of manliner.
Hellamos.
It is. It's crazy.
Hellamos.
In fact, one of them.
Chock full of mos.
Remember I told the story back in December?
Mos at 5.
we'll More be mos back. At 9, yeah.
Next Mo's at 11.
You want news? We got Mo's.
The Mo's news.
We've got Mo's news. That's right. On Fox.
We have a traffic alert. There's wind.
Stop it. Did you see that car? It went super fast.
People think I'm exaggerating when I talk about all the news Mo's that I know, but no, it's a lot.
I didn't realize it. So we're sitting there in our first seat because we were in a balcony at first, then we got moved down to the front row later, but that's a different story. But remember back in December when...
Nope.
Yes, you do. When George Michael passed away, I told you that Mark Martinez had sent me a text. Can we be at your house at 1 o'clock to interview you? And I'm like, fuck no, you can't. Because I had been crying all the night before and I wasn't ready. Well, the reporter that he wound up sending later that afternoon was there. I hadn't seen Ty in person. I had not seen him since December. Well, he's there, and they're all cheering for Jared Dillingham, who is Channel 3, Channel 5 news reporter from them, okay? I didn't know, I'd never met Jared Dillingham, didn't know anything about him. I knew Selena Vega was dancing with him, but I didn't know anything about, but there was this huge section cheering for Jared.
Can we spell his first name?
Which one? Jared? Traditional spelling, J-A-R-E-D.
Okay, because there's like 9 different spellings of Jared.
Jared Dillingham, D-I-L-L-I-N-G-H-A-M. Okay. Anywho... So there's all this group, and then Mark Martinez walks in, and I tap, because they were all encouraging Mark to come sit with us, and I tap Ty, and I'm like, he's your responsibility, because you invited him over here. So the whole media group was all there. So anywho, find out later, Ty Brennan and Jared Dillingham are a couple. No fucking idea about this.
Oh, I'd watch those two have sex. I'm currently staring at a lovely photo of Jared, traditional spelling, on his Twitter page, yeah. And I already know what Ty looks like.
Yeah, so there's those two. Then there's
just as pretty as a picture.
Brandon Lee, who's on Channel 3.
Sure.
He's another hottie.
No relation to Bruce.
No, absolutely not.
From what I understand.
No, I mean, maybe distant. Maybe he's adopted. I don't know. Yeah. But no.
I think he's adopted.
But he, anyway, I just learned that there's hell of a lot more gays in the media in this valley than I ever knew before.
Alice.
Oh, Channel 3 News. There he is.
Channel 3. You've got your Brandon Lee, you got your Jared Dillingham, you got your Ray J, you got your RJ Johnson.
Oh, that's the man. Remember I said manliner?
You got your Mo number one and your Mo number two.
That's who I meant.
Okay.
Because he's either suffering from that disease that the guy from Lost has, where he always looks like he has eyeliner on. He was on Bates Motel.
Guyliner is the cute term you're looking for.
Oh, guyliner.
Guyliner.
What do you call it?
Because it rhymes.
What were you calling it?
Manliner. I don't know.
No.
That sounds like something to keep him from making a mess.
Guyliner is a much better approach.
Guyliner's cuter, yeah.
No.
But, because, you know, there's that guy from Lost that was on Never Aged on Lost. And then he was on Bates Motel. Look, I'm flinging my hair like it's long.
Was he a black guy?
No.
Hey, they never he has the permanent.
Oh, yeah.
He looks like he has it. So I don't know if this guy's wearing guyliner or he just has that same affliction where the...
Affliction.
Well, he does have really dark eyelashes and it kind of does look like it.
Yeah.
But again, and another thing that is...
Elizabeth Taylor had that where she always looked
sure
like...
she did.
No, because she had the violet eyes with the... And she had that thing that looked like guyliner.
Mm-hmm.
That when they couldn't make her eyes look unmade up because she suffered from guyliner.
On ladies, they just call it eyeliner because it's not on a guy.
No, but it's when it's not... You know what I mean? Like the guy on Lost isn't wearing eyeliner.
Right.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming that Brandon...
I'm just picking your story apart.
I know. Well, I don't know. I think it was his story, but...
That's how I like to
do. No, I just was...
But I'm out of raisins.
Brandon Lee. Brandon Tartikoff was an NBC CEO way back in the
totally
80s.
Different. I think dead.
Brandon Lee, I don't know.
I don't know. I think so.
Brandon Lee's the other one. Anyway, I just learned that there were a whole bunch more that I didn't know. And then, of course, we've got the lovely and talented Nico Santos from Channel 12, who the first day I saw him, I was like, who is he? And our friend Mark Martinez introduced me to him. Anyway, it was just interesting to learn... How much friendlier the airwaves were than I had previously thought they
were.
It's very interesting. But anyway, it was a great day running around with Mom, and we went to one of my clients, which is the Toddy's Asian Fusion over in Scottsdale. Again, stimulating talk radio for those of you who don't listen, live close. It's a lovely Asian restaurant over in Scottsdale, and we went to have lunch because Mom had not been there in a while. So we were eating whatever, and Mom had... one of the egg rolls, and then it comes with the hot mustard. And we were having a discussion about the fact that you, for whatever reason, you can't buy that hot mustard in the store. Like, no matter what they say, it's, you know, it's original, it's authentic, it's whatever. It ain't that mustard.
Well, they're usually
secrets
homemade.
In the sauce.
So, I'm gonna get to the rest of my story.
I'm sorry.
So we ask her son about it, and he says, "Oh yeah, it comes in a powder form. We make it, and then we add spices and whatever the hell they add to it." So we go back in the kitchen, and Toddy fucking pours us two little things of it, gives it to a separate set, puts it in bags. She was the most adorable thing, so it was kind of funny. But we've got this hot, hot mustard, and I made a sandwich last night with it. Ooh. Oh, dear God.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, it was
That's
hot. I'd forgot. It's different when you're in an Asian restaurant eating it on an egg roll and with other stuff, but when it's just, you slathered it on a piece of bread.
Yeah, when you spread it on bread like it wasn't hot.
Yeah. So I could breathe for hours on end because I was open, everything was open and good.
It's a happy little side effect.
It was. It is good. It's like when you have horseradish and it just kind of hits that palate in your mouth and boom, everything's open. It's always good. So anyway, that's the gist, I guess, of what I got going.
I like it.
I mean, there's always other shit going on, but those are the exciting things.
Hi, Jenny.
That was exciting. There's,
oh, by the way, and if you haven't noticed, the flags are larger in the chat room, so I can at least see them from here.
Right.
And I sent a cute link, a link to the cutie, and that is the Brandon Lee, no relation, to, and I just am in love with this picture. I think he's just totes adorbs.
Does it show his sleeves?
No, it's just a picture of his lovely face with his guyliner. He doesn't really have guyliner on, though.
Oh, well, you'll find other pictures.
I don't know what that guyliner is.
If you follow him on Twitter like I do, you'll find his Instagrams and all that other stuff. He's one of those people that you would never know to look at on air, but he is tatted from here to here. He has just ink, and he just adopted a rescue dog. So he's been posting a lot about that. But he's, when you look at him, you would never have any idea that, you know, off air and on his own free time, he's a... He's totally tatted up.
He's a rebel.
Yeah. He'll never be any good.
Mm-mm. Bad boys, bad boys.
Heavens to Murgatroyd.
He gets more intriguing by the minute.
Inch by inch. I was talking about how his arms. You go up each arm. There you go. Kat Carlson, you've been real busy, I'm sure. Take it away.
Well, my gosh. I think that the Dancing with 1 in 10 was also the highlight of my week. So Cobalt was the top fundraiser, and going into it, we knew that we were one of the top fundraisers, and so they took, like, five of the top fundraising contestants and offered them the pleasure of working the bar, which I feel like should go to the bottom fundraisers.
Yeah.
Oh, good point.
But, you know, here's congratulations.
Here's a
go
job.
To work.
Yeah.
Right. But anyway.
And if I'm not mistaken, like, $37 is what separated the two top fundraisers at that point, if I'm not mistaken.
Between Stella and Brad?
I believe that's what it was. $37.
So, like, two people raised over $20,000 in this?
Each.
$40,000.
Wow. Yeah. Yes, I gotcha. Yes. Thank you for
combined, $40,000.
First, I was going to give you the finger, but then I thanked you.
I'm helping our listeners, our kind
If you'd
listeners.
Like us to do the math for you, please let us know.
Well, yeah, that's a very fun event, and I'm always one of the first ones to volunteer for those kind of events because then I get to see all my favorite people. Kyle Ward was there, and Anthony Hugger, and some very young but cute boys that I didn't know from Bliss Rebar, and
I didn't even see who was from Bliss Rebar.
They were 10.
Okay.
Yeah.
They were children.
Okay.
And we applaud you for not noticing
okay,
them.
Okay, well, I was saying.
Yes, for real.
And we
he sold the truck. He's not looking at the children. I mean, really, the diversion therapy. The aversion therapy is.
Oh, and I now have earnest money on the one I sold. So, like, it's on its way. It's literally on its way out.
What does that mean?
Wait, what did you sell?
Down payment on my white truck.
What do you mean he had earnest money
on it? That's what he threw a $100 bill at me and goes, here's earnest money towards the truck.
Oh, so you loaned it to him for now.
So it's not actually sold.
No, it's not.
Wait, let's talk about this truck.
I still have possession of it.
There it is.
I have possession.
It's kind of like a rent-a-truck.
I got to take that kudos card back that I wrote the therapist.
He has not taken possession. He has just secured his purchase by giving me a down payment on the vehicle.
So last week's question, what did you do with that $7, was really pretty appropriate.
Pretty right on.
No, because there were 93 other dollars with it.
Are you sure?
And there's going to be 1,400 following it.
Oh.
It's a full 15.
All right.
It's a full 15-er.
Anyway, otherwise I had a lovely week. I apologize for my tardiness tonight. The kids are back to school.
Oh, do tell what your meeting was about. What'd you do?
Yeah.
What'd you have to tell somebody off? You have to drag somebody through a ditch and say, listen, bitch.
What happened?
Honestly,
you dirty whore.
Honestly, yeah. I stayed home with the kids so that Sharon could go because it's an adults-only kind of a thing.
So what did you do with the kids in that time?
Played in the pool.
That's time well spent.
Right.
Yeah. That's not nearly as exciting of a story as I was hoping you were going to bring to the table tonight.
It's not. And, you know, we
But it's honest. It's honest.
Well, and the kids are old enough, we considered just leaving kind of a gap so that I could be here on time and they would be home alone for about 20 minutes. But upon arrival home from school today,
there was a fire.
Oh, yeah.
there was an incident. So last night, no, I am going to tell a story now. So
you dared her.
I'm okay.
I was trying to bail out of it, but no.
Yeah. No.
So last night, get this will actually interest you, I bet. So I'm standing in my kitchen. It's like 8:30 at night, and of course Sharon's getting ready for bed because it's.
Yeah,
you know, the sun's still up.
Like you do. Right.
Right.
Got to beat that sun.
I'm going to bed before that orange thing.
I'm going to win.
I haven't had dinner yet, but good night. Yeah. So, see you tomorrow.
Yeah.
So I'm just like standing in the kitchen, kind of chatting with her, kind of playing on my phone than listening to her. But anyway, she's, you know.
Typical Monday night.
Right. Typical Monday night. Yeah. We've watched our Game of Thrones. She's off to bed. And we're, you know, in the kitchen and she sets the timer before she goes to bed for the coffee pot so that it's ready in the morning. And so she does her thing and whatever and walks away to go brush her teeth and get ready for bed. And I'm just sitting there playing on my phone. And behind me, I hear like this crackling sound. And I'm like, well, what the hell? Did the coffee pot start? And then all of a sudden the coffee pot is smoking.
Oh,
I know.
Terratons, Marlboro, what's it doing?
Yeah,
right. Good call.
Benson and Hedges.
Oh, my God. Oh. Old school.
Menthol.
But no, apparently there was some kind of a short, and it was shorting out on my counter for virtually no reason. So I unplugged the thing and, you know.
Threw it
in the pool.
I want to make sure that fire is out.
Yeah.
No, there was never actually any actual flame. It was just that electrical smoke.
Yeah,
you know what
that
I mean?
Kind of a plasticky
that
burning.
Yes,
smoke. I understand.
Ugh. So yeah, got to go on a Target run. So I set the thing outside and was like, well, I'll deal with it tomorrow and maybe I'll look at it or maybe I'll just hurk it in the trash. It's a $30 coffee pot for crying out loud.
Yeah.
So we're not going to worry a lot about it, but maybe I'll look into a warranty because it's reasonably new. Anyway, so I set it outside. All day today goes by just fine. I pick up the kids from school. I get home. We do a little homework and I'm ignoring the kids for a little while. And Sharon comes home from work, and she says, did you give him permission to go beat the hell out of the coffee pot?
Oh!
Uh-uh!
Yeah, he had apparently taken it upon himself to decide that was trash. And
I'm gonna just suggest that
just
possibly he has listened to Marnie praise the stress relief of her boxing.
I'm just telling you.
Maybe he took a hammer and realized, I got some little kitty stress.
He's not allowed to listen to this show.
He saw Office Space.
He's not allowed.
He might have seen Office Space. Now, that might be a thing.
Well,
there he was in the middle of the lawn, beating the hell out of a coffee pot with a stick.
I'm telling you, it's
a
good release. It's good.
Do you think he felt better?
Probably not, because then he came in the house and I yelled at him for beating up my shit.
Oh,
God. And that's
damn.
That.
See, he got rid of his stress, and then all of a sudden he's like, oh,
and
my
then
God.
He has more. Now he's going to go beat the shit out of something else.
Wow.
A person.
Hopefully it's a Nazi.
Well, there you go. If you can find a Nazi, son, beat the fuck out of it.
By the way, we'd like to welcome our newest sponsor to the show,
Nazis.
Tiki Torches. Made in America for you. Not anybody in particular. If you'd like a torch, they're yours to have.
It's brought to you by Bic.
So yeah, so that's my anecdote of the week. We almost burned our house down with a coffee pot. Which gave me a nice, you know, 9:30 at night trip to Target.
Mm-hmm. What'd you get? What's the new coffee pot?
This one's a Black & Decker.
Oh, exciting.
Okay, you know that's part of the story I'm waiting for. So what'd you get?
No, I know. That's exactly why I asked that.
That's fair.
Yeah, we're just boring old drip coffee kind of people. So.
Yeah. Well, no, you need to have all of it. I have a French press. I have the Verissimo. Yeah. I have the standard drip.
A Menagerie. He's got all of it.
If I knew how to use a fucking percolator, I would have that because percolated coffee is delicious.
My mother used to always swear by her old percolator coffee. Mom, you'll remember.
Stick it on the stove.
We had a
yeah, but there's a gentle art to that.
The silver, like the
the art is in the filter. The art is in the filter.
Old West Bend coffee pot she had for 100 years.
Totally remember that.
But she loved the percolator.
The water boils and bubbles, and it drenches the ground sitting on top.
Is that the thing that you like? You take it out
the
and
basket.
It has
yeah. Please don't ever make that gesture again.
Take it out and pull.
I have to stop.
I don't know.
That's just great. You made me laugh about I'm just clicked on Facebook. Yeah, that they are the Eric Cartman of people. I peed my fucking pants.
Would you put it in context? Tell in context what I was referencing.
So There was, well,
for those of you who do understand who Eric Cartman is for from South Park.
From South Park. Jacob Tryweather.
Right.
How many statues of Hitler are standing in public areas in Germany right now? How about Saddam Hussein busts around town squares in Iraq? That's what happens when you lose a war. You don't get remembered fondly. You get turned into a lesson to teach or warn younger generations. And rightfully so. And he goes on, blah, blah, blah. So, in speaking of these fucking morons, they are the Eric Cartman of people.
Because Eric Cartman is
a perfect visual.
Because Eric Cartman, you will respect my authority.
Yeah, kitty.
Yeah, he thinks everything he does is right. Everything everybody else does is wrong. Yeah. He deserves everything.
Now, I give the salute?
Yeah. It just cracks me the fuck up. But she's pretty close on the old voices.
Yeah.
So,
ha, Hitler.
But that's exactly.
Yay, it's a voices show.
It's going to be before we're done. That's exactly right. They're all like little Eric Cartmans who think that,
they can get away with anything
they want.
They're just, that's fantastic.
A little piece that needs to be put out as often as we can is that these statues were all mostly, not all, but. What is it, like 80% of the statues that are being protested were put up in the 20s?
Mm. Yes.
Right.
Mm-hmm. As a result of the rollback of rights, they have nothing to do with the war.
Right.
The revolution.
They have everything to do with racism and nothing to do with the Confederacy.
The Confederacy or the Civil War, honoring the dead. They're just kind of mocking the fact that rights were being taken away and the Jim Crow laws were being established and put into effect. Like that, there's no grand old history here.
It was the Roaring Twenties version of Make America Great Again. Is what happened.
Right, right. And Summer and Danielle, have a good night.
Oh my God, so early.
Well,
early to bed.
You know,
good night, kids.
And love you right back. You guys are not. They are not near. If they've already gone to bed, near Oklahoma City. Is that correct?
No, they are east and a little bit north of Tulsa. Actually,
okay,
we're that's where that map.
I couldn't. Well, exactly. Meow Cal, we need Meow Cal.
You leave Tulsa and you start heading north, northeast towards my hometown of Joplin.
Sure.
You pass through there or by their little hometown.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because with all that fucking craziness of, you know, look, I want to be Timothy McVeigh because I'm a fucking moron. It just kind of seized me a little bit. And then I went, are they near there? Is that a thing? And so I'm just glad everybody is okay.
Well, now that we've gone past our What Have You Done All This Week, we will go into our next segment.
Ooh.
It's very exciting that we have these sound cues because we haven't done everything yet. But this segment is called Obsession. Because what have you been obsessing over all this past week? And we'll start with Kat Carlson.
Oh, my gosh. Well, kind of Nazis.
kind of.
No, you know, I was earlier today reading up on the Reconstruction, believe it or not, the not sexy part of the Civil War, which was very interesting. But the thing that I was going to choose before all of the Nazis is the podcast Constitutional. So Lillian Cunningham from the Washington Post did the podcast Presidential, where she went a week at a time through all of the presidents. She's back with a brand new podcast called Constitutional, where she's discussing the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. And she's taking a really interesting take. Like the very first episode you would think would be like, you know, the First Amendment or no, it was about Native Americans and their struggle to become people and recognized through the Constitution. So like just her like sideways take at it. I can't wait to see how this goes. So that's my, I've been checking that they post on Mondays, I think. So I have a
huge endorsement for her Presidential podcast.
Oh yeah. If you haven't listened to that,
that is a fascinating listen. And just short to the, most of them are short. Some of them are a little bit longer.
They're all about 45 minutes. The Presidential ones are 45 minutes to an hour. And again, like not just the stats of, you know, was born, died, killed these many people, whatever presidents do.
A little bit of gossip, a little bit of history, a little bit of the schemes and machinations of how they got elected.
Ooh, like machinations.
Yeah,
he is like full of words today.
He's new full mouth of something. full of something.
Wow. Yeah.
And, well, and her thing was like about like what did or didn't make each president an effective president. Like what about him, what about his style or his approach or
the times,
the circumstances, right, made this president effective
Morris
or not
Day.
Effective, as the case may be, how or, history remembers or people him.
That, yeah, and how history will remembers them. And one of the things that's going to... I don't know if it was on her show or it was on a commentary that I was following along with that was saying that like Clinton may in the end go down as a very ineffective president. Like as sure. time goes on, he's going to be between conflicts. No, like there's no great
right.
there's no great recession or depression. There's no great war. There's no great
middle of the
struggle.
Road. He's middle of the road.
Kind of a there was a lot of appeasement to the other side mm-hmm. to make baby steps towards. You know what I mean? Like. He's going to be
there was
seen
a lot of
as,
compromise. There was yeah, don't ask, don't tell. There was
kind of like an exposition episode of the better things that were coming, to more interesting people that were coming.
Right.
And that he may already know it. Like in interviews with him, he may already see himself as a president that's going to be kind of like Lily White. You know what I mean? Kind of right. milquetoast. That's the phrase I'm looking for.
Oh, milquetoast.
I do love milquetoast.
I do too. Mm. So I'm not sure if that was from his episode or the commentary that I heard on it, or
I don't remember either.
Yeah, there's a presidential historian that's making the rounds whose name again I'm going to share my microphone cord. There's a presidential historian going around that's really getting a lot of airtime.
Like
Michael Beschloss,
I think it's him
from MSNBC.
Pretty lips, him got
no,
pretty that, mouth.
Not Michael Beschloss.
Well, I'm not saying he's good looking. I'm just saying he's got a pretty mouth.
No, not Michael Beschloss. Then
blue eyes.
No. Dark hair, looks like maybe the old...
Oh, no, this guy's like a gray, like a salt and pepper gentleman.
No.
Pretty mouth. Anyways, he's the one that's been putting a lot of presidents into context, and it's been interesting to watch.
Okay.
It's a different perspective on Trump to, like, close your eyes and pretend he's somebody else and then give that, but I'm all about that, because, you know, me and the podcast are...
Yeah, constitutional, thick. So you'll have to, if you did subscribe to presidential, you'll have to go find constitutional separately. It's not going to be on the same feed. It's going to be on a new feed, so it's... If you're thinking it's going to show up because you listen to presidential, it's not.
Okay.
So you have to go look for it wherever you find podcasts. But it's on all the things. And it's just starting, so you can listen along, because I'm sure that'll make obsession more than once.
Mm-hmm.
Because she's just, I don't know, there's something about her. And she's got a nice, like, kind of fall asleep voice, but kind of, like, gets into your brain. Like, you can easily be soothed to sleep by her.
She definitely has. I am subscribed.
Except I can't stand the way that she D's her T's. Like she says button and mountain.
Oh, mine is the lady that does the criminal one.
Right.
The criminal one, that's the way she says dot com. Like, all of a sudden she gets this weird hokey accent at dot com. Marina.
Marn.
This sucks.
It has easily just been hatred.
Yeah.
As far as that goes. Like just... kind of astonished.
Like feeling it or researching it? Or
astonished by it. And the fact that I keep being surprised by it makes me happy, because I haven't gotten to that point.
We haven't normalized it. Again, I'll interrupt you too.
Yeah, I appreciate
share my
that.
Microphone
I'm
cord again.
And I'm also, maybe and I'm consider shocked. Maybe a front dude there.
Yeah.
But I had a very similar reaction today, and actually kind of thought it out loud to myself that, like, I'm glad that we haven't normalized this yet, that I am still shocked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm appalled by the behavior. And the behavior, I can't come to terms with if I'm more irritated. This probably sounds stupid as hell, but more irritated with the fucking backwoods entitled white upper class preppy bullshit.
Yeah, these aren't farmers.
No, but I mean it's like all of this.
Not my apologies to farmers. That sounded
absolutely
really wrong.
But the. I don't know if I'm more upset by that and appalled by that, or the people that just keep accepting it and keep accepting
making excuses for the guy on my page, a friend of mine from childhood,
Trump,
Michael Zimmerman. If you're listening, the fact that you immediately found a way to blame Obama for this,
right,
like it didn't even take it was the first comment on my saying something was to blame Obama, and I'm like, wow. From someone that I actually know, that your gut reaction to someone Nazi saluting our president Your reaction is, how does that make you look?
Right.
That we would think something bad about you for feeling the same way as these guys, and the fact that you went to blaming Obama.
Absolutely. And that's even a thought. And I don't know, the obsession part of it is because every time, I don't know if I've mentioned before that my mom appreciates Yahoo alerts. Yeah. And
I'll bet this has been a trying time for you.
Because it was a trying day without the Yahoo alerts.
Is there a special sound that Yahoo alerts make on a phone?
We should get it.
We need to get it.
Yeah. Oh.
Play it during
the
show.
I'm going to go find it right now.
Yeah, somebody fucking twitching, but it makes me insane whenever he comes on the TV. And he makes those goddamn faces all the time, and he's a 4-year old, you know.
That's the
4-year old, right? And then you have
a demographic, right? They're 4-year old children.
And the people that want to blame Obama or Hillary or whomever, when Barack's response to this whole fucking thing wasn't to wait 3 days, just like Dickwad did with the
Katrina.
Muslim. No. I'm talking current Dickwad.
Dickwad.
The current Dickwad for the in Oregon, the Muslim girls that those people came in. The three guys, one of them died, I believe.
The bombing of the mosque.
Absolutely,
that he had nothing to say about.
And it's like 3 days, and even then, he's like, well, I don't know. But you have Obama who comes out right away. People must learn to hate. And if they can learn to hate, they can be taught to love.
Yep. That's the Nelson Mandela quote.
Right. Yeah. But that's what his response to this whole thing was, to give that, I don't know, maybe it's just that reassuring fucking hug. I don't know. Maybe it's...
I don't want the creepy orange guy giving me a reassuring hug.
I don't want the creepy orange guy.
I will not be assured or reassured.
At all.
Yeah. The thing that I can't get over is that in the times, the years of the Klan, the robes, you had to think, well, they know what this would do to them on a personal level if they didn't have the hood on.
Right, right.
Like, they were cowardly enough to put on a hood so that they could walk down the street and act like they were Christians.
But now they're bold?
They're these fucking white kids.
Uh-huh.
White boys, millennial clan members that are screaming blood and soil. That was the peaceful part of the thing that the orange dumpster fire. Again, the Oprah thing. I'm not saying someone's name, but he was talking about the peaceful part. What they were doing was surrounding a church with torches, screaming blood and soil. But they don't have hoods on. Mm-hmm. They're there in their, like, what did Michael Rappaport say? In their skinny jeans and their fucking Starbucks coffees, running around.
And looking their like preppy shirts.
And their little button down shirts, privileged
as hell.
Fucktards, as all get out.
And what are you going to do to me?
Well, they're getting fired from their jobs.
No, I know. Losing everything. Saying, that's now what the, I think now they camp, looked at.
Now the campaign is out on Twitter, and I think it's a great idea.
Absolutely.
If you're in, and get the guys in the hoods too. Find out where they went home to.
Right.
Put that, because again, I'm always saying, if you're racist or you want to put up your no cakes to gays, put it on your window. Own it proudly. And
right.
You know, these little fucktards, they're going to find out what owning it proudly leads to. Because, yeah, it's free speech, but we have free speech, too. So we're going to make sure.
Right.
That's what some people were saying. You expected maybe 10 to 15 really old white guys to be out there. If anyone was going to be out there, protesting this. Really old guys. Not these 20-year-olds.
No, I did.
Oh, that's exactly who I expect.
No. That's what they were the on the news. That's what. It
but
was
those of
the,
us that have been paying attention, we know it's 20-year-old white douchebags.
How long have I been saying those are the people I'm most afraid of?
Yeah.
And that's a college age white man with a chip on his shoulder.
Yeah, who thinks
that's
right.
A terrorist?
Who thinks rape's
right.
Okay?
Right.
And thinks whatever crime he commits, he should put on Facebook.
Yeah,
because it's going to make him cooler. He's going to get more friends.
And Jenny's right. Dunce caps. Yeah, hoods, dunce caps.
It is. With our apologies to the dunces.
Yeah, Dale.
That's twice you've apologized to people.
And
I wrote it down.
Dale's
Rice.
Family.
Thrice?
Dale's Farmers. Family has. There are a
and
couple
dunces.
People.
4-year-olds.
That are in it that he just is. He goes back and forth with constantly. They're. One of his brothers is just too fucking much, Dale's brothers. It's just, it's too much.
Yeah.
How they just continue to believe in this
stuff. You don't have to, there's two things. You don't have to wait.
Of course, that's later.
Two things. You don't have to wait very long. I would say too long, but we've said that word too many times. You don't have to wait very long for the people that thought Beyonce's backup dancers were equivalent to the KKK to find the people watching a Nazi march with the KKK to justify it. Because to them, Beyonce's backup dancers were already the most evil thing on the planet. So these people burning torches, shouting at churches, are nothing. Beyonce already did it. She did the Super Bowl half show as some kind of Black Power salute that rocked them to their core. So this is just the honest response.
Boys will be boys.
Well, yep. Mm-hmm. The honest response. And I went to bed Monday morning, got off work, watched the news, saw the forced apology of an 8-year-old for spilling Hawaiian punch on the couch, which is exactly what that speech from the Orange Dumpster Fire sounded like.
Mm-hmm.
Like his mom was behind him telling him, you have to go apologize to the nice lady who you spilled juice on her couch. Mm-hmm. It was so forced,
right. I'm sorry, right. I spilled juice contrived. On your couch.
Yeah. The body language was so appalling. And I giggled. I went into my bed, lay down, and I was like, so is it going to be today when I wake up or tomorrow morning when I wake up that he's going to give an unscripted press conference and the tires are going to come off this bus and just slide down a hill?
It's predictable. I don't know why his staff can't figure it out, because it's super predictable.
And it was something that
put him in the bunker for a week after he says what you want him to say.
It was my own visions of sugar plums dancing in my head as I went to sleep. It's like, yep, Fox's News is going to have like a half a day of something really good before they have to. Yeah. Tucker Carlson was, I watched 10 minutes of Tucker Carlson today.
That's just a lot.
Yeah, he was just so upset for white people.
Oh.
Oh my God.
No relation, by the
white
way.
White people have just been suffering.
Santa just
am on board with all of what you said, but because of video production of what I had to just do, I kind of just did that and prepared for our next segment that we have to do. So there's that.
There's nothing this week that's upset you? Come on.
All that you just bitched about.
All right.
I've been just following along thinking, the fuck?
Yeah.
I'm just, you know, astounded by just massive.
How many of you are scared about, scared. That's going to be my word. Just speaking for myself. Scared as to who you are involved with or close to or, you know, that you share things with and you talk to that you're like, they believe that stuff.
Yeah.
They're good with that, but they're closeted about it. Right? They're not coming up, but that frightens the fuck out of me.
Like
that sheep, you know, or the wolf in the mist, the midst.
Yeah, yeah.
Whatever. Isn't that
the fox
what it
in
is?
The hen house.
The fox in the hen house. Where whatever.
Are we going? The mist
I don't know.
Of
the Meadow?
No.
Yeah. I honestly am kind of grateful now for all of the people that I deleted over the Beyonce at the Super Bowl thing. Because I know those people are the ones, and the two people I have left on my page from the Beyonce at the Super Bowl, one of the two was the person who immediately needed to blame Obama.
Yeah.
That was his gut reaction was, well, Obama is a horrible person and hates white people.
Absolutely not.
Right, because he denied them housing and all that stuff. So, I mean, but you could see it, like, writ large.
Yeah.
Sugar plums. Fairies.
Yeah.
Oops. What the hell was that? I forget what was
what
playing.
What the hell is going on? Free speech isn't free of consequences. Aaron, exactly.
Yeah.
True.
Very true.
Let's get that t-shirt.
And while we're on that subject of free speech, there's a difference between expressing your opinion and speaking against the government and inciting violence and hate speech. The Supreme Court's been over this. Like, violent hate speech is not protected by the First Amendment. Yeah. Standing out in front of the church, screaming, I'm going to burn you motherfuckers down, is not protected by the First Amendment. That's not the right thing. That's not the same thing.
Right.
Saying that our president is a bumble-faced buffoon idiot that couldn't find the left hand with the right hand, that is protected by free speech. We can say that all the time. Right, and a pretty accurate picture.
Yeah, really accurate.
That is protected by the First Amendment. But
he can find his own left hand because it's white.
it just is white. Yeah.
No. Left hand just is white.
Applause. Applause.
Well done.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh.
It's been a nutty week.
It has been enjoyable, though, listening. Because, like I said, I keep Newsline in the background all the time. But as you go through each show, like earlier in the day, you know, when news starts to break or something is said, and then it finally gets delineated down through all of the different hosts, and you get to the end where Brian Williams...
Delineated is a really good word.
You're welcome. Yeah. I'm trying to match this bitch.
You're just trying to keep up. I know.
As it goes through all of the cycles, I mean, you know, my boyfriend, I watch, but I'm not real big on Lawrence. But by the time you get to Brian Williams has been through all of this, like, for years. Like, he's been a reporter for many, many, many years. He used to be at the White House and all this kind of stuff. He's already been down these roads for... In some of these cases, so when we finally get to him,
I feel like he's a little young to know about Nazis. Though.
No. I understand that, but I'm saying
not firsthand.
No, but like all of the
not OG with, Nazi.
With the exception of Chris Matthews, who was a speechwriter and who was in administrations and so forth. But like Chris Hayes, Rachel Lawrence was in the Senate or something to that effect. He was in with them as well. But Brian was at least a reporter. In the press corps at the White House, and he's older, not as old as Lawrence is, but still, I just like the way his take on it when he gets there and he's got the people, like they just have drug it through everywhere, and he's making references to other stuff, and all of a sudden you're like, I shouldn't be hearing this at 48 years old in my life. In 2017, I shouldn't be hearing this conversation. We shouldn't be having this conversation. But there we fucking are.
And I have to add him to my obsessions, and I will make him my very own some other time. But I live for and wait for the 11th hour with Brian Williams. It is news, and it's witty. It's precise. He is so... He's just... The charm on that man is just off the charts. And maybe he made up a story or two, and I guess I should be offended, but I'm kind of not enjoying it, because...
We do it week after week, and nobody shuns us.
They're personal anecdotes.
We also don't make the money he does, but still, the point is.
But I have to say, a welcome back to the news to him, because I honestly find that 11th hour to be my favorite part of the whole lineup, and I frequently watch them all. I have them all taped tonight to go home to watch.
I understand.
I need to know what Rachel has to say, and I honestly need Brian Williams to wrap up my day for me to bring back my sugar plum fairies.
And it's not only with him, because it is so deep in the night, but what their promo says is legitimate. He is getting the headline of tomorrow morning's newspaper handed to him, like, right there. Like, they're prepping it all. So he's literally, in some cases, breaking stories because they're being fed to MSNBC in the middle of the night.
I also enjoy a smart summary at the end of the day. When we're down to the embers, what is this story really? Oh, and sometimes when he gets to that, I really enjoy that.
Well, here we go.
Wow.
What happened? I'm sorry.
Jenny's girlfriend was born in occupied Nazi Austria during the war. Wow. My sister's mother-in-law is a Nazi. She's a German war bride. She was born in Nazi Germany. Yeah. So it's unfair to say that. But so, sure. You know, she's now 90 years old this January and is from that era and married a GI. Married a Joe.
And is probably freaking the fuck out.
Well, as we wrap up our first hour, we go into this. It's our teaser for headlines coming at you just... Well, seconds from now. We're going to read them for you first, then we're going to do them at the top. That's next hour stuff. Here we go. Man gets prison time for taking selfie.
Florida is fucked.
Ann Coulter's still a cunt.
White supremacists who march in Charlottesville. I'm not the angry racist they see in that photo.
Arrest made of man ramming a Bentley and a Rolls Royce.
The sky is falling. The sky is falling.
There's expectation, and then there's reality.
What same-sex couples must know about their finances.
These stories coming at you right after this. It's Q Talk America. Stay with us.